Amen. Good morning, saints. It's so good to be with you here again in the European Young People's Conference in Poland. Praise the Lord for our spirit. Amen. Lord, flow out this morning. Amen. So, let's go now to page 18. In the mornings, we are going to have a different line than in the evenings. So let's go to page 18 in English, to the morning line, okay? And the title of the morning line is Salvation in God's Economy. What a title! Salvation in God's Economy. Okay? As you are preparing your radios for translation, to hear the translation, I would like to show you my first outline. The first outline that I ever had when I came to this conference. This outline is 22 years old. Can you see? This was my first outline here in this conference. How old are you, Nathan? 13? I was your age. But why did I bring you? Because it is the same topic. The precious blood of Christ. I love this outline. It was my first outline. But you know what I like about this new outline? You know what I like about it? I like the color. I like the design a lot. But one of the things that I like the most is that you have a lot of space to write notes. So I hope, as the brothers are speaking, you are taking some notes. If the Lord touches you with something, you can write it down, okay? And then when we finish, you can share it with everyone, okay? So let's go to page 18, and let's read the general title of the morning section together, okay? 1, 2, 3. Salvation in God's Economy. Very good. And let's read the title of message 1. God, home image for God creates man in his own image for his expression. But before we begin the outline, I would like to tell you a story. This is a real story, okay? It is about a brother who was born more than 100 years ago. He's a precious brother. His name is James Kendrick. Okay? Why do I want to tell you about him? Well, when he was a child, he was born in a Christian family. And as a child, he learned about the Bible. He even learned by heart some passages in the Bible. And as a young man, he also knew about salvation and about God's plan of salvation. But at the same time, although he knew about God's salvation, he was born in a Christian family. He learned the Bible, and he knew in his mind about salvation. He didn't live like a believer. He also knew, and this is kind of ironic, because he knew about God's salvation, but he was not saved. Can you believe that? That you know about God's salvation, but you are not saved? So, before the age of 20 years old, as a young man, he was working in the mine, you know, digging in the mine, and he had two accidents. In one of the accidents, the roof of the mine collapsed, and he almost died. But listen, although he almost died, he didn't turn his heart to the Lord. He didn't believe. He didn't receive Christ. But one day, and we get to the main point of the story. One day, his father was working in the mine, also digging. And a big rock a lot of tongues, a lot of weight fell on his father, and instantly he died. James, this young man, he was really shocked because his father died in that way. The night of his father's funeral, he couldn't stop thinking about the face of his father. And he was really afraid. That very night, the Spirit talked to him. Do you know what the Lord told him? What about if the one there, it was you? James knew he was not ready to face the Lord. He knew that night that he was not ready for eternity. So he was really disturbed within. He didn't know what to do. What can I do? If I die now, I am without Christ. I don't have Christ. By the Lord's mercy, he was reminded of a verse, John 3:16, that night. And he believed in the Lord. He was saved. And he found peace eternally. Saints, we need salvation. We need salvation. You know, in the world today, people say, maybe your friends in school, oh, there is no sin. No S-I-N, no sin. You can do whatever you want. Don't worry. Don't worry. When you die, you will disappear. That's okay. Don't worry. And also, what do they say? What do your friends say in your class? There is no God. Oh, right? Look, they say, oh, there is no God. Come on, what are you talking about? No sin. We can do whatever we want. There is no God. But we know, and they also know probably within, that within us, there is something wrong. You know what is it? It's sin and death. That's why we need salvation. So this morning, in the morning sections, we want to talk to you about our saving God. Nathan, can you stand up? How old are you? 13, okay. Nathan, this week, God wants to be very real to you. Although you are 13, that's fine. Thank you, Nathan. Who is here 15 years old? Anyone? 15? Shoshana? Shosh, can you stand up? This week, the Lord wants to be very real to you too. No matter what age you are, the Lord wants to be real to all of us. And that's why we need salvation. So, also, in the morning lines, we're going to see that God has an intention with man. There is something within God's heart, that makes him really happy. What makes you happy, brother? What's your name? What? Lucas? What makes you happy? Enjoying God, good. Very good. You know, there is something within God that makes him very happy. So we are going to see that God has an intention. Let's read Romans number 1, okay? Together. God creates man according to his likeness. And Genesis 1:26. Let us make man in our image according to. Okay. We need to circle these two words in this verse. Can you circle it? Can you circle them? What are the words? What are the words? The words. What do you think? The most important words in this verse. Do you know, Eli? You don't have it? Elias. The main two words in Genesis 1:26, A. Image and likeness. Very good. You circle them. Very good. Image and likeness, okay? Don't forget. Image, likeness. Let's say it all together. Image, likeness. God created man in his image and according to his likeness. Look at me. Look at me. What do you see? Two arms. Very good. What else? Two hands, right? Two legs. Two feet, right? Just one head. That's good. Just one head. But, although you are looking at me right now, what you see is not the real me. It's not the real me. The real me is inside of me. Okay? So if you want to know me, if you really want to know me, you need to spend time with me. Because what I am is inside of me. That's what we call image. The inward parts of man. So do you know, do you have thoughts, brother? What's your name? What? Bradley. Okay. Do you have thoughts? Yes, right? You have a mind? You think? God has also a mind. What about feelings? Do you have feelings, brother? Of course, right? You have emotions? God has emotions. What about a will? Sebastian, do you take decisions? Tomas decisiones? Yeah, right? God also takes decisions. He has a will. So inwardly, we are like God. And outwardly, we also are like God. Sometimes they say, oh, you look like that famous person. You look like this one or that one. But actually, all of you look like God. Amen. And the Bible says that God has eyes. God has ears. Did you hear about the hand of God? Look at, Sebastian, come here. Don't take off the headphones, okay?
It's fine.
Yeah, yes. Okay, come here. Ven aquí. Look at Sebastian. He looks like God. Sebastian se parece a Dios. He looks like God. He's exactly like God. He was made according to God's image and likeness. Thank you, Sebastian. Gracias, Sebastian. Okay. You know, the way man was created was very special. Very, very special. The Bible says that God created man out of the dust of the ground. Can you believe that? I really appreciate that God took his time to create man. It was like, God made man out of the dust of the ground. He was like playing with the mud, forming man. He was playing with the dirt, right? Taking his time to form man in his image and likeness. And at that very moment, think about it. The angels were already there and they were looking. Hey. What is God doing? Hey, look. What is he doing? He's a baby God. He's like a baby God. Oh, have you seen? It looks like him. It looks like God. Saints, we look like God. We are so important. Everything was created according to their own design, right? Everything. But man was created according to God. We all have the image and likeness of God. Okay? So, let's read A together. A, brothers on A, okay? God. Be sisters. God created man Duplication. Amen. Wow, a duplication of himself. Let's go back a little bit to Genesis chapter 1. God's creation and restoration. So in the beginning, God said, let there be light, right? And there was a division between light and darkness. Then there was a division between the expanse, the things above from the things beneath were separated, okay? Then God called out the dry land. Praise the Lord for the dry land. After the dry land, we have the herb life, the grass. Then we have the light bearers, the moon, the sun, everything. Then we have the animal life, fish life, the bird life, the cattle life, the beast, and the creeping things. Everything was created for man. God made everything ready for man to live. After everything was prepared, God said, let us make man. You know that man is the climax of God's creation? Man is the top of God's creation. Man is higher than everything. For example, look at the grass here. Do you think it's beautiful?
Yes.
I got here also some flowers from my house. I think flowers are really beautiful. I love flowers. And the grass. I love trees also. But, brother, it doesn't have a face, right? It cannot really express anything. Express beauty, but not much expression. What about the fish? Who likes fishing? You like fishing? Do you fish in the UK? Okay. You also like fishing? Very good. My brother likes fishing very much, too. Okay, so if you get a fish, it has a face, right? Eyes, they have a mouth, but they don't have a neck, right? They don't have a neck. And they don't really express that much. Not much expression. And what about birds? Yes, they have a neck, they have a mouth, eyes, but also not that much expression. They fly, right? What about the beasts? The cattle? They're looking down all the time, right? And yes, they have a face like similar to the humans, but they fall short. Man is the highest in creation. Never put yourself down. Never. You are not like the animals. You are not like the animals. You are much more higher than the animals. So, okay. Let's continue with points 2. Together, okay? Point 2. The Bible. This is so mysterious. The Bible reveals something very mysterious. Man was created in God's image and according to his likeness. But the way we were created, as I told you, is very special. Man was not created as a knife. He was not created as a knife or as any other kind of tool. I don't know how to call this in English. How do you say it? What? Course, whatever. Okay. We were not created as a tool, right? That's weird. But man was created as a can coke. You know why? The Bible says, I love coke. The Bible says that man is a vessel. A vessel for what? To contain something. To contain God. Okay, if I open this vessel and I fill it with sand, for example, or with pencils, it's okay. I can fill it with pencils or with sand, but the purpose of this can was to contain Coke, right? To contain a liquid. Man, we were created to contain God Himself. Nowadays, people are trying to fill their vessel with so many things, right? Your friends in school, they are trying to fill their vessels with all kind of entertainments, right? But that's not the purpose why we were created. You know, last few weeks ago, Spain won the sorry, the Euro Cup, right? Everybody was really happy. I was happy also. Woo! Spain won the World Cup. Next day, a brother told me this. As I was going to my house after the match, I said to myself, and now what? And now what? And he told me, vanity of vanities. It's vanity. You know, if we try to fill our vessel with so many other things, we are never going to be satisfied. Only God can satisfy us. This year, a brother from the UK sent me a video and some pictures of some brothers in Kingston. Who is here from Kingston? Can you raise up your hand? Kingston? No one? What? Oh, you are from Kingston. Okay, so I saw a picture. You were there, Nathan, in the picture. So I don't know what it was, maybe. Your brother was there, Philip. Maybe you were there too. What? The Alvarengas, yes. When I saw that video, you were playing the guitar and singing to the Lord. I tell you, I was so happy. I was so happy. Because these brothers in the UK, they were filling up their vessel with God. That's why we were made. I tell you, when I am filling my vessel with God, I am happy. I am satisfied. And you know why I'm satisfied? Because God is satisfied. God is happy. We were created to contain God Himself. Okay, let's continue reading A and B together, okay? Brothers on A and sisters on B. God's intention. Sisters, amen. Praise the Lord. So every day we can pray, Lord, make your home in my heart a little bit more today. I want to read you a verse. It's John 3:2, and I will finish with this verse. I hope you all memorize 1 John 3:2, okay? It says, Beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not been manifested what we will be. We know that if He is manifested, listen, we know that if He is manifested, we will be like Him. We will be like Him. Because we will see Him even as He is. So this is God's plan. He's making us the same as He is. Amen. Praise the Lord, we were created in God's image according to His likeness. And now my brother Richie is going to continue.
Amen. Praise the Lord. It's funny Eliezer used this example of the Euros, because I was on the other side of that. Living in Kingston, being English, being born there. My family, my wife's family was in town from Taiwan, so we had everyone over. And every round that England got through in the Euros, where hope's increasing, it's coming home, you know, for 1966. And then, no. And then in the finals, we fumble, and just the same feeling. All the hope, all the full, you're full of football, and then empty. Just lost it, emptiness. Why? Why is there that feeling of emptiness? Because we were made as Coke bottles, right? We are made as God bottles. God designed us in a particular way. Just as a Coke bottle is designed to only contain Coke, we are designed in the image and likeness of God to contain God. This is what makes us happy, and this is what makes God happy. And so in coming to this matter of God's creation of man, God's desire and his intention to come into man and be one with man, I felt to share my experience of the Lord in how I first got saved. And so I was born in England. I was born in London. And when I was young, you know, my parents would go to some church meetings. And so when I was very young, there was something of the Lord put into me, right? Some thought that God exists, God's real, there's a God in the universe. And I think I heard the name Jesus. I think I did. I don't really remember, but I seem to recall something. But then when I was 6 years old, my dad got a job transfer, and so we moved to the States. So we actually moved to Ohio, which is in the Midwest. And then 18 months later, we moved to Illinois, which is also in the Midwest. And then 18 months later, we moved again to Texas. So I grew up after that in Dallas, Texas. And so if in my sharing, I speak American and then some English leaks out, it's because I was born in the UK and then I moved back to the UK a year and a half ago. So I'm back in Europe now after 23 years of being in the States. And so my accent's a bit fluctuating. It's American, English. Anyway. So the Lord brought us through, but when we moved to the States, we ended up not going to any more church meetings. So I grew up from the age of 9 in Texas. I left England when I was 6. And so I had something put in me before age 6 about God, but really not too much, just kind of a vague knowledge. And so I remember when I was 9, very silly, but I had to have a tooth removed. And for some reason at age 9, this just really worried me. And so I remember I was like praying to the Lord, like, Lord, preserve me, you know? Like, I pray I make it through this procedure, you know? And so, you know, it's a little bit silly, but it was genuine. I really prayed to the Lord that he would take care of me. And then, of course, it was fine. And then I forgot about the Lord afterwards, right? Carried on my life. And so I moved to Texas. That was in Illinois. I moved to Texas. And so, you know, the process of moving, you have to go and make friends, and you're in a new school, and everyone there was already friends. It took me a while to make friends. But I remember this guy in one of the classes, his name was Sergio. I'm like, man, this guy's really cool. I like this guy. He's like, really cool name. Sergio, he's from Mexico. And I wanted to be his friend. And then eventually, over time, we kind of befriended one another. And he ended up being one of my best friends through all of school, all the way until university age. And so Sergio, being from Mexico, his family was a family of believers. So his parents were believers, and his grandmother was a believer. He was a little bit like Timothy in the New Testament, right? Timothy had passed down the writings even from his mother and grandmother. And so Sergio was the same way. He was a believer, he loved the Lord, his parents went to the church meetings, and he received much spiritual edification, spiritual insight from his grandmother. And so we became friends, and we just hung out normally as kids do. You know, played basketball, we played PlayStation. You know, we were just friends passing through school. And but as a kid, you know, sometimes I would kind of get worried in the night. You know, maybe it's kind of dark, you're scared of the dark, or you're worried about noises in the house, and you just hear something and just think things, right? You just think things, and you get a little nervous by yourself. Yeah. And so I was about your age when this happened, okay? So I was, you know, all around this age. And so I'd had Sergio over for a sleepover, okay? So we used to sleep over at each other's houses. So he was over at my house having a sleepover. So we stayed up late, we were playing video games all night, and then we went to bed. And I remember I was just a little nervous, I guess. I heard some things, and I was just a little scared, you know, just kind of in my mind and in some fear, you know? And I just asked him, just honestly, I said, Sergio, do you ever get a little scared sometimes at night? Like, do you ever fear anything? And he said, yeah. But when I do, I just pray to the Lord that he would cover the house in his blood. And I was like, okay. I'm not entirely sure what that means, but there was enough put in me from a child to know about God, to know about the Lord, that kind of made sense. And so he just encouraged me. He just said, maybe you can just pray something like that, just a small word. And so inwardly, okay, Lord, cover the house in your blood. And instantly, I touched the Lord. You know, actually, you could say the prayer, whether it's right or wrong, the right words being used, I'm not so sure. But it was genuine. And something in me touched the Lord. That genuine prayer of opening to the Lord where I was at, of asking the Lord something to cover the house with his blood, it was like I got plugged in. Somehow, in that brief prayer, God got into this bottle. Somehow the Lord came in and filled me. And all my anxiety, all the fear disappeared. It all released. And it was like peace, like a blanket came upon me. And so this was my first experience of the Lord. And I remember waking up the next morning and I just realized, wow, God is real. And I want to pursue him. And that touch of the Lord put me on a path to pursue the Lord. Actually, the next morning, I went and asked my parents to drive me to the bookstore so I could go buy a Bible. I wanted to pursue the Lord and know him more because it was real to me. God became real to me. And so hopefully all of us here have had this somewhat this kind of experience with the Lord, right? We've all touched him. We've all received him. Hopefully, if you haven't, this week would be a marvelous opportunity to touch the Lord in this way. And if you have received the Lord already, then I hope this week, our hope and our prayer for everyone here is that we'd have another touch. It doesn't need to be dynamic. It doesn't need to be something extraordinary. But have a real touch of the Lord. This is what's on our heart. And so just returning to the outline on these points, maybe we can all read Roman numeral 3 together. I am the light of the world. You are the light of the world. And then maybe brothers, can you read John 8:12? And then sisters, Matthew 5:14 through 16. So I love these verses. So John 8:12, the Lord says, I am the light of the world. But then Matthew 5:14, you are the light of the world. So this is something concerning our nature as believers. It doesn't matter about our condition, how we feel about ourselves, what we think of ourselves, but the Lord's word is, you are the light of the world. So that means that we are the same as the Lord is. This goes back to how God created man. He made us in a way to be his reproduction and his duplication. And so, you know, in my experience, this is what Sergio was to me, right? The Lord wanted to shine, but he needed a seed, a believer, one with him, to also shine to me. And so in the same way the Lord is the light, Sergio also was the light of the world. And so this is our nature. Okay, so point A, maybe the brothers can read point A. Light is the shining. So this word in this outline, effacing, it means to erase or disappear completely. So my experience, I was touching something. I was in the darkness at this age. But the Lord, through Sergio, was able to reach me to efface the darkness, to make the darkness disappear. This is what light does. And then let's continue. We'll go sisters on B, brothers on C, and sisters on D. The believers are like luminaries. Amen. Sisters, the believers. Amen. So we have no light in ourselves, but we have the ability by God's creation to reflect the light of Christ. And in point C, this word luminaries, this means a light-giving body. So this is our function in the world. By nature, we're the same as God is. And in function, we are also the same as God is in our function to shine. And there's a verse in the top of your outline, which is Philippians 2:15. I'd like you to circle that verse at the top of your outline. And I'll just read it to you because it's not printed here. It says, that you may be blameless and guileless, children of God without blemish, in the midst of a crooked and perverted generation, among whom you shine as luminaries in the world. So I hope we would remember these few words. I am the light of the world, you are the light of the world. I just like those two words, you are. You are the light of the world. And then you shine as luminaries in the world. This kind of leads on to the end of the outline. I'm just going to jump to point five here on being seeds of the gospel. So the Lord in John 12:24 is the seed who falls into the ground to die, but in dying he bears much fruit. And then in a parable in Matthew 13, the Lord also speaks of sowing, but he said, and this is Matthew, the last verse on your outline, he who sows the good seed is the Son of Man, and the field is the word. And the good seed, these are the sons of the kingdom. And so in the same way that the Lord's light and we're light, he's the grain of wheat, and we in function are seeds of the gospel. And so my experience, you know, my best friend, he was a light, but he was also a seed of the gospel. The Lord had sovereignly arranged to bring him out of Juarez, Mexico, and bring him to Dallas, Texas, and he had sovereignly arranged me to be brought out of London to Ohio, to Illinois, to Dallas, Texas, to meet. And then this one, as a seed of the gospel, spoke something into me. And in that, he changed my life. I came to know the Lord, to touch the Lord, and be set on a certain trajectory to pursue the Lord. And so in the same way, the Lord's intention for all of us is the same. He's placed us somewhere in our cities, in our countries, among certain friends. And I do believe there are many of your friends who are me, who are ones who are not saved, who are struggling with things, or maybe in anxiety or have different struggles. And the Lord has prepared their heart in a particular way to be soft and open. And all they need is a brief speaking. All they need is something of the overflow of life in your nature by the shining, as the Lord has scattered you as the seeds of the gospel. The Lord's desire surely is to spread out to your friends and to those around you. And so the more we enjoy the Lord, the more we're one with him, the more there'll be an opportunity of those around us to speak to or just to be around, right? And then the Lord surely can grow and can spread and even to bear fruit in our friends. And so this is the functioning of God's creation, right? This is God made us as vessels to contain us, and there are many empty Coke bottles around us being filled with the Euros, being filled with many other things. And what they're thirsting for is reality, right? They're empty God bottles. And so I'm just so impressed. The Lord made us in such a way in his image and likeness that we would contain him, be filled with him, and Lord's desire is through us as the light, as the branches, and as seeds of the gospel to spread out all over the earth. Amen. Amen. So I'll maybe stop there and...